This teaching is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Praise the Lord. Okay, well, tonight is a praise and worship evening. Aren't you glad that things you can't obtain in the natural, you can actually worship into your life? You might be in a position tonight where you cannot obtain what it is you need in the natural, with natural resources. Perhaps it has to do with a relationship that's gone wrong and you know, it's not in your power to fix. But it's wonderful to know that you can worship your way into victory. And so I'm going to take just a few moments, encourage you with the Word of God and position us to be able to praise God for something that is about to happen in so many people's lives tonight. Maybe you're here and you don't have a need, but I believe this Word is going to bless you nonetheless. So turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, and I'm going to be reading from verse 22. It is on the screens, but I would like you to open your Bibles because this might be just a portion of Scripture that you're going to want to meditate over in the weeks and months to come. The Bible says in verse 22, "Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the Shur Desert," or the Shur Desert. Now, just to put this in context, Israel had been in slavery for 430 years. They had wicked and hard slave drivers. In actual fact, there wasn't an Israelite alive whose father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather had not been in slavery. For these Israelites that were being delivered from Israel, every single one of them had come from a generation of slaves, and so their mindsets were slave mindsets. We've heard it said before, you might take the people out of Egypt, but sometimes you can't take Egypt out the people. And so God, in dramatic fashion, delivers all of these Israelites using Moses as their savior, in inverted commas. As they come out of Israel with the plunder, they plundered Israel with all the gold, all the wealth of Israel, they came to the Red Sea. They'd been delivered out of Egypt, but here they were confronted with an impossible problem. And the Bible says, what did God do? He said to Moses, "Stretch forth your staff," which he did. The Red Sea parted, and the Israelites went through on dry ground. They came out on the other side. As they were standing there, their oppressors, and sometimes this can represent bondage, it can represent financial lack, it can and it does represent everything that may have kept you in slavery up until this point. They watched as those waters closed in on the people that had oppressed them for 430 years. Now, you couldn't blame these Israelites for thinking, after such a mighty deliverance from Egypt and now from the Egyptians, that life was going to be plain sailing from here on out. I mean, sometimes Christians that get born again are under this illusion that, listen, life from here on out, that I've got Jesus on my side, he's my chay, he's my best friend, he's my savior, he's my Lord, there's nothing that's going to get me down. Life is just going to be all, what is it, fun and roses. Is that what they say? Fun and games, sunshine and roses. Thanks, darling. That's why I have you come to church. Sunshine and roses. And here, and in actual fact, Miriam begins to lead them in a song, and these people begin to go and sing, "God has destroyed the rider and the horse," and they're praising the Lord. In verse 22, the Bible says that Moses leads these children of Israel out into the desert. Let's read a bit further. You see, sometimes things can change dramatically. You can be on the mountain the one day, and then all of a sudden in a very dry desert valley the next. How many of you have experienced that in your Christian walk? Can I see your hands? I mean, some of you might be in a position right now where you're singing songs of deliverance. God has come through for you. God's done something mighty for you. Pastor Allen actually was the one that made the statement. He said, either you're in a problem. Anybody here in a problem? Can I see your hands? Okay, so either right now you're facing a problem or you're coming out of a problem. How many of you are coming out of a problem now? I'm one of those. God has delivered me from something. He's delivered me and I'm sensing the presence of God. So either you're in a problem, you're coming out of a problem. Where are you? Do I have anybody else that's just come out of a problem? Or you're heading into another problem. You see, they were in a problem in Egypt. They were coming out of a problem. They came out of Egypt and then they went into the desert. That's a beautiful picture of a Christian walk. Now, let me tell you, I'm not here to assassinate your faith. Bear with me, okay? So the Bible says clearly that Moses, their pastor, led them into the wilderness. And you think it's Moses that did this, but further on, it tells us clearly that this is where God was leading them. So look at this. The Bible says they traveled in the desert for 3 days without water. So you can survive 3 days without water, but in the Negev, and I've been to the Negev, it can go up to 53, 54, 55 degrees. 3 million people, they might have had enough water to carry on them for a day or two, but remember, it's to feed all the, to quench the thirst of all the cattle and all the people. They weren't planning on going through hard times. They carried more gold than they did water. So they had water for them, that maybe for a day. Now in the desert, chances are you're not going to survive. So they must have been getting pretty anxious. After day one, the water was gone. And then they were wondering, okay, what's going to happen? You know, the Lord's delivered us. Now bear in mind, this is 3 days after they got delivered from the Red Sea. They saw all their oppressors killed. It only took 3 days for them to think and say, listen, what now? Where's God? In actual fact, let's take a look what happens. So after 3 days, the cattle are thirsty, the people are thirsty. Not only are they on a desert, but they're in a place of desperation. Have you ever been in that place as a Christian? A place of desperation. Can I see your hands? Anybody here? Dottie, you know what I'm talking about. You've been at that place, okay? And sometimes in desperation, we trust in God to deliver us and God to come through for us. And then take a look at what happens. God comes through. In verse 23, when they came to Marah, they finally found water. Can you imagine? Now listen, this wasn't a trickle, it wasn't a pool, it wasn't a fountain. It was enough water to feed over, to quench the thirst of 3 million people along with all their cattle that they had with them. So this wasn't a pool, it must have been more like a lake. And you can imagine, 3 days no water, they see it on the horizon. You can see the men begin to charge to quench the thirst of their wives, mothers with thirsty babies running towards this pool, only to get there. They get there, and this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, finally found water, but the people couldn't drink it because it was bitter. This is why the place was called Marah, which means bitter. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but maybe you are here and you find yourself in a place where God has just failed to meet all of your expectations. You've encountered His deliverance in your life before, but perhaps you're in that place right now where you're just at the end of the end of the end. There is no more hope. And maybe you went for a job interview and you thought, listen, this is it. And you pegged all your faith and all your hope on this next move that God was going to deliver you, only to get then be turned down. I don't know how many of you have ever felt disappointment in your life before as a Christian, where you've pegged something for God to do and that has not been met. So now these people have gone from thirsty, and this is why God calls the place Marah, because it was a place of bitterness. But what I want you to notice, in the absence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they went from a place of rejoicing and praising God for these tremendous victories to a place of complete bitterness. What we don't read in that story, unless we meditate on it, is it's not only the 3 million Jews that were thirsty, Moses also didn't have any water. So here 3 million people had the same problem. Moses had the same problem, all 3 million people had the same problem, all the cattle had the same problem. They were at death's door. They thought deliverance had come only to get there and to experience disappointment. And so there are two types of responses that are recorded in Scripture to this catastrophic event that could cost the lives of millions of people. Two types of responses. Let's take a look at how the majority responded. The Bible says, as we read, it says, then the people turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So straight away, because the expectation wasn't met, they began to complain and blame the pastor. Moses was their pastor. At least they had the sense to look to a leader. These people were renowned throughout history of grumbling and complaining when they didn't get their way. But it's sad as we read the story to think they went from praising God after seeing one of the greatest miracles recorded in Scripture, of the parting of the Red Sea, only 3 days later to be looking to Moses and saying, what are we going to drink? All 3 million of them complained about their situation. So that was one response. The majority responded one way by complaining. Let's take a look at how we ought to respond. The Bible says, so Moses, who was just as thirsty as them, whose problem was just as big as theirs, and this is the amazing thing about true leaders. Leaders have the ability to go through the same stuff, but nobody would ever know. True leaders will go through exactly what everybody else goes through, but they'll have the sense, the wherewithal, and the faith to look to the Lord as opposed to looking to others. And so Moses, the Bible says, cried out to the Lord for help. They cried to Moses for help, complained about it, and Moses cried to the Lord. And now this is what amazes me. The Bible says that as Moses cried out to the Lord showed him a stick, some translations say, or a branch, a dead piece of wood. The Bible says that Moses picked this up and he threw it into the waters, and the waters were instantaneously healed. Now, this stick didn't have miraculous properties that healed the water. Where in your life have you ever seen a twig heal millions of liters of water like this? It wasn't about the stick, it was about the obedience. But this is the point, and there's a few points that I want to make here on this issue. Moses prayed, God showed him a stick. Now, if I was Moses, and I like to put myself in the place of these biblical characters, and I was trusting God to deliver not only me from 3 million people wanting to kill me, and also the water wanting to poison me, and the Lord shows me a stick and instructs me or leads me to throw it in the water, if I'm Moses, I'm saying, huh? A stick. Now, if you give me a desalination plant, hey, now we're talking. Lord, if you can just erect something, I would be saying to the Lord, this doesn't make sense. The stick doesn't make sense. And throughout Scripture, we read stories of where Jesus was with his disciples and miracles took place, and he uses the most freaky ways of delivering people and getting them set free and giving them provision. And none of these things make sense. Put water in barrels. In clay barrels. Elisha, take salt and sprinkle it in 2 Kings 2. Take salt and sprinkle it in the water. Take the poison mushrooms in the stew. Take a bit of flour and just sprinkle it in 2 Kings chapter 4. Just sprinkle some flour in that thing and the mushrooms. If I was Moses, I'd be saying, a stick, this doesn't make sense. And as I was meditating on this portion of Scripture, it was some years ago, the Lord said to me, Andre, it doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make faith. It doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make faith. Say that with me. It doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make faith. And you see, listen to me. Now, there's such a profound truth if you can grasp in this Old Testament account of 3 million people being in a place of bitterness. You see, if you complain long enough about what you don't have, you will eventually become bitter. And that pool was reflecting the hearts of those people. You read further, the Bible says that the Lord led them to that place of despondency, of discouragement. Why? Because he needed them to see what was in them. So whenever you find yourself at a place of complete and extreme disappointment, that's not the time to blame God and say, Lord, free me. That's the time to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? So Moses says, Lord, help. And the Lord shows him a stick. If I'm Moses, I'm saying it doesn't make sense. But because it makes faith, I will obey like Elisha obeyed, like Jesus turning the water into wine obeyed. I'll pick that stick up. And Moses says this. He says, The water's healed. Now, if I'm the people and Moses puts that stick in the water and says, drink, I'm saying, you drink first. You drink first. But the Bible says it was healed. But listen to this, and this is what's miraculous. You see, while that same stick was in full view of everyone, but while the people that complained about what they didn't have, they were blind to the solution that laid right in front of them. And sometimes when we blame God, and even in our heart attitudes, when we won't voice our opinions, because I doubt all 3 million people shouted at the same time, 1, 2, 3, Moses, where are we going to get water? But they had an attitude in their heart because no one defended Moses' position. No one was correcting anybody. All 3 million of them looked to Moses and says, what are we going to drink? While they were complaining, the same stick that Moses saw was there, but they were completely blind to their deliverance. You want to know another tremendous, powerful truth? Is that before they left Egypt, that place of bitterness was there. That problem existed even before they got saved. But guess what? The solution to that problem was right next to the problem itself. That stick was a dead branch. It had been laying there as long as the problem existed. Let me tell you tonight, as we praise and worship God, as long as you think this problem is new to you, it might be new to you, but God has prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Your cup can overflow. As long as that challenge has been there, I'm telling you, the solution of God has been there. That stick, you just got to bump your neighbor and start saying, "Listen, where's my stick?" It doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make faith. People are going to think we're fruitcakes tonight. We're going to praise and worship the Lord. We're going to sing to someone we don't see with our natural eye. We're going to weep in the presence of someone that perhaps whose touch we cannot feel. But we are going to exalt His name. We're going to lift His name up high. And people are going to look from the outside in and say to us, "But that doesn't make sense." And we're going to shout out in our spirits, "It doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make faith." That's all it needs to make. It just needs to make faith. And then my favorite three words in this story, and we're going to skip a few verses. You can read it at home for the sake of time. My favorite three words in this whole story is found in verse 27. The Bible says, after leaving Mara. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. After leaving Mara, let me tell you tonight, we're going to be leaving that place of bitterness. We're going to be leaving that place of disappointment. We're leaving that place of failed expectations. We're going to be leaving that place of heaviness and heartache. And the Bible says, after leaving Mara, they came to Elim. And Elim had 12 pools. And 70 palm trees. Not only was the water of the word there, but the shade was there. And the Bible says He gathers us under His wings. Let me tell you, if you can only move from the place of bitterness and disappointment to the place of Elim, how many of you are ready to go to Elim tonight? Won't you stand to your feet with me? Stand to your feet with me. Now, this is what we're gonna do. It doesn't have to make sense. It just needs to make faith. This is what I'm sensing the Lord wanting us to do tonight. You might be standing prophetically in that place where you're standing right now is Mara. The Bible says after leaving Mara, they came to Elim. So at the count of three, and don't step on anybody's toes. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know there are people here tonight that are in Mara that are ready to get to Elim, okay? It doesn't need to be. Tonight, the stick for you is going to be, I want you to take one huge step to the right-hand side. It may not be a stick, but it is a step. It may not be a stick, but it is a step. When I count to three, and then Andrew and the praise and worship team and kids, they're going to crank this thing up, and we're going to worship and praise the Lord like we've just walked into Elim, like we see the 70 palm trees, we see the river, we see deliverance, we see freedom. And when the devil says it can't be that easy, you tell him, "Devil, it's as easy as taking a stick and throwing it into water, and God can heal it." Amen? So at the count of three, are you ready? Are you ready to leave Mara? How many of you are ready to leave Mara? Come on, let's get excited and full of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, this makes no sense to the Reformed Christians. It makes no sense to Reformed Christians, but praise God, it doesn't need to make sense. It just needs to make faith. Tonight, we're going to take a step of faith. We're going to walk by faith, and we're leaving that place. So at the count of three, are you ready? One, two, three. Take that step and tell your neighbor, "I'm leaving Mara." Tell your neighbor, "I'm leaving Mara." Let's take another step to create distance between Mara and Elim. Let's take another step in the name of Jesus. I'm walking by faith. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, I thank you, Lord, for setting your people free, for meeting needs. Come on, let's praise the Lord together, kids. Lift your voices and praise Jesus. I tell you, folks, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in your family, in your life, in your ministries, in your place of employment. The Lord is instructed me, I sense, to pray for a specific group of people here tonight before we go into the altar call. So I just want to simply obey. I'd like to, for a second, go back to that story of Moses delivering those 3 million people. Imagine the responsibility that weighed on his shoulders. God didn't give him a road map. He just said, go fetch my people and bring them out. He surely must have been just as surprised to come through the Red Sea and head into a desert. Imagine what it must have been going through his mind. Lord, I depend upon you completely. I'm obeying you, even though I don't know where the provision is coming from. It was not only his own life that he had to carry, it was the life of 3 million people. That's what biblical scholars tell us. And so, I'd like to pray for those people that are here tonight that have been anxious of late when it comes to provision for your families. Now, I'd like to say that if there are any men here tonight that have felt the weight of providing for your family, perhaps you don't have a job. Think about Moses for a second. He had the weight of 3 million. You might only have the weight of 3 or 4. And I'd like to say it's only men, but I know that there are single families, single mother families here tonight, moms who might be in the same position, who have to act as provider. And you're so tired of living in the state of uncertainty and not knowing what's going to happen next month and the month after. You've trusted the Lord, but it's just this niggling thing that is always in the back of your mind. And there's a little bit of anxiety. You know, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. He has to be saying that to people who generally are anxious. If he says, be anxious for nothing, he's writing to people that are anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We've given the Lord praise and worship tonight. So if you are here tonight and I want to ask you to raise your hand, but it's not with the intention of embarrassing you. I really just sense that I want to pray for you because I believe with all of my heart that the solution to your problem is right next to your problem. The solution to your problem is right next to your problem. And as we praise the Lord, I believe many of you have entered through a different gate tonight. You've left that place, but I want to agree with you in prayer, if that's okay. So if tonight, one of the real things that you are struggling with and dealing with is providing for your families and the future provision of your families, I just want you to raise your hand tonight. Raise your hand tonight. Look at all those hands going up. Raise your hands. Raise your hands right now, okay? I just want to be obedient to the Lord and I want to pray with you. In light of the story, if God could help Moses with a simple stick, solve the problem and provide for over 3 million people that were at death's door, I promise you now, God can do something for you. But it's going to start with Him pulling out that anxiety and that fear out of your heart and out of your mind. That's where it all begins. That's where it all starts. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring before you each and every person who has their hands raised. Many of them, Lord God, although not exactly in the same position as Moses, certainly are grappling with, how am I going to meet the needs of the people that you've called me to provide for and to love? It's been something that's been mulling over in their minds. Perhaps it's even been that thing that's driven them to do anything, to say anything, to accept anything in order just to find that security. And maybe in the anxiety tonight, many people have even disobeyed your instruction and your leading. Tonight, I ask, Lord God, that just as Moses raised his hands towards heaven and asked you for help, and you drew his attention to a simple yet such a profound solution, Lord God, that each and every one of these people tonight would have that encounter with you. That you would show them, Lord God, clearly and visibly what their next steps are. Solomon said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. I speak that promise of provision over every single life here tonight in the name of Jesus. And I declare that the righteous shall never be forsaken and their children will never be begging for bread. Now, I want everyone to say that after me tonight that has your hands raised. Say this in the name of Jesus. God has never forsaken the righteous. He never intends to forsake the righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and therefore my children will never be found begging for bread. I will spend my days in prosperity. My cup overflows. God prepares a table of abundance for me in the presence of my enemies. I will never be defeated. In the name of Jesus, from this day forward, I don't take part, I take over. I don't take part, I take over. Father, you are my source. I trust in you for everything. You tonight, I declare and enthrone as Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. In the name of Jesus, I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I'm in your economy, Father. I'm not affected by the world's economy. I'm in kingdom economy. You are my king, and you care for me just like any king would care for his citizens. In the name of Jesus, I declare I'm free. Now you foul spirit of fear and anxiety, I break your power over my mind and over my heart, and I declare I'm walking in the ways of God. In the name of Jesus, Father, tonight, I thank you for jobs, a release of jobs, a release of promotions. I command every spirit that has been hindering every single increase and every single promotion, every devil in hell that has been assigned to bring about lack, I break your power in the name of Jesus, and I declare that the members of Christian Family Church are prosperous in Jesus' name. Now, if you believe that, you say amen and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you, Father. You are worthy, 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 worthy. I want to encourage you folks this week. Make Exodus 15 from verse 22 to 27. Make it your quiet time reflection. I've been meditating of that portion of scripture. I can't even begin to tell you for how many months now. There's some serious issues of ministry stuff that the Lord I believe is using me to sort out. But I tell you, some of these problems seem as big as trying to found provision for 3 million people. And so I've been meditating and mulling over this portion of scripture, and I'd like you to dig deep and meditate on the size of the problem, but yet the size of the solution, and how God can come through with the most simplest step of obedience. Something so small, something, and it didn't cost Moses anything. God didn't ask him to give a sacrificial seed. He didn't ask him to draw money on his bond. He didn't do any of that. The solution was right there. It cost him nothing. It cost him the cross, because the wood is a type of the cross. All it cost him was the cross. It cost Jesus the cross, and he came out in victory. Amen. Bump your neighbor and sound victorious. Bump your neighbor and say, do you see my stick? Tell your neighbor, do you see my stick? I see my stick. You may take your seats. Praise the Lord. You can sit down. Thank you, young ones. Well, if you are here for the first time tonight, I know you're thinking, what just happened? And that's okay. And that's okay. We're not your average church. We're a Pentecostal, charismatic, fire of God, full of the Holy Ghost church. Amen. But if you are here tonight, I don't want to close this service without giving you your opportunity to meet Jesus. That is why we exist as a church. We exist to see you come to Christ. I know you're thinking, well, why would the Lord bring me to this church? Well, he brought you to this church because without you, we were incomplete. He brought you here because without you, we were incomplete. If we were a complete church, he would have sent you somewhere else. So this is the first step in your journey, and you are amongst family. It was the 16th of October, 1991, that I gave my heart to Jesus at a church meeting just like this. In actual fact, it was a time where there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hey, Pastor Greg, most people were drunk in the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was wild. And I gave my heart to Jesus. Found my place right here in this ministry. And look, see what the Lord has done. Now 33 years later. And tonight might be your first step, just like it was mine and everyone else. You're amongst family here. And so I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, and I'm not going to go to where you are. I want to pray a simple prayer with you. It's a prayer based on scripture. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I want to lead you in a prayer based upon that scripture. And as you pray this prayer from your heart, willing to repent and not just receive Christ as Savior, but make him Lord of your life, then I promise you tonight, the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. The creator of heaven and earth, the one that has always existed and always will exist, is present in this meeting right here, right now. All he wants is for you to open your heart to him and receive him. He promises that he'll make you a new creation, a brand new man or woman. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. He promises that he'll take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh once again. A heart that can forgive. A heart that can receive forgiveness, but also give forgiveness. A heart that can be at peace, not only with the Lord himself, but with the people around you. Tonight, if you want that new beginning in Jesus, at the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray with you. One, two, three. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, please. Thank you. I see those hands being raised all over. Raise your hand high in the air. Please keep it raised, indicating to me and to the Lord that this is your night. Tonight you are making Jesus the Lord of your life. God bless you. I see those hands. Don't wrestle. Don't wrestle. You're wondering, should I, shouldn't I? Am I saved? Aren't I saved? If there's a question mark hovering over you, then just raise your hand. Because the Bible says in 1 John 5:14 that we may know we have eternal life. You can know and you should know whether your heart is right with the Lord. Tonight, if it isn't, and for those of you watching on television, I hope that your heart is right with the Lord tonight. I'm about to pray. I'm going to count to three one more time. For those of you that are wrestling and don't know, raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Right now, raise your hand in the air. I'm going to ask at this time that the pastors, the group leaders would go place their hand upon the shoulders of those people that have raised their hands. And now I want everybody, please, everybody, we're a family. Let's pray this prayer together. Say this with me, everyone together. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that I have failed you. I know that I've lived my own life, making my own choices, living with my own will. Tonight, I'm ready to surrender. And I'm ready to surrender because Jesus, you died for me. You're not only my Savior, but you are my Lord. You paid the price for my sin, for all my wrongdoing, for my hard-heartedness. Tonight I ask you, Father, to forgive me. Come into my heart. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I promise to serve you and to love you until the day I see you face to face. Lord, tonight I choose to forgive everyone who's harmed me. Tonight I release them. Remove this unforgiveness from my heart in order for me to receive your forgiveness. Thank you for saving me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za, or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.